This is Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 393 of Shutters Inc., the first episode for 2018. This is Bruce Williams from ShuttersIncPodcast.com. And that there is Glyn Lavender from CreativePhotoWorkshops.com.au. How are you?
Sorry, people. We're back.
Yep.
Now, Bruce.
Yep.
I think we should set the bar low.
Lower than we already have.
How low can you go? If we set the bar low.
This isn't the Limbo podcast, man.
If we could just do like a really, really worse than our normal average low. Yeah, it's all uphill from here. I mean, there's a shining light ahead for everybody.
Of course.
So all I'm saying is, let's not go too hard too early.
Right, okay. Fair
let's
enough.
Let's not go on this first podcast.
So what you're saying is a soft launch for 2018.
That's what the words I was thinking of. Yes. That's it. I still think set the bar low is, yeah. Assumes at some point we set it high, I guess.
So how was your month off?
Terrible.
Oh, really?
And yours? No. So I've had parts of it have been great, but parts have been an absolute nightmare. And it's something I wanted to talk to you about, being an audio engineer.
Okay.
Do you know something about sound, yes?
A little bit, yep.
You know something about sound levels, yes?
Yes.
Okay, so 95 decibels of sound, is that loud or not loud?
Relatively speaking, it is loud. What you are referring to is actual volume of audio in the real world. So you're referring to what we call sound pressure level.
Right, okay, yeah, SPL,
now,
yeah.
Yep, so sound pressure level, just to put it in context,
yeah.
80 decibel sound pressure level, if it was continuous, will cause a certain degree of permanent hearing damage after 8 hours.
Okay, that's at 80.
Right, but that's continuous. We're not talking about just peaks. We're talking about a continuous level. Now, for every 10 dB you increase the sound pressure level, the time required to induce permanent hearing damage halves.
Yeah.
So at 90 dB, continuously, you will sustain permanent hearing damage after 4 hours. Now, in a cinema, when you're watching a movie, there are quite often peaks. There are peaks as loud as 115 dB, but they are only peaks. So
it might be for a couple of seconds.
Yeah, so the average level in a cinema is around about 87 or 88 dB SPL. That's your average level in a cinema.
Yeah.
So imagine that 95 dB is a reasonable amount louder than that. A jet engine, if you were standing beside the jet engine of a 747, and when I say beside it, I mean like right underneath it, you would be exposed to levels around about 140 dB SPL. So that will cause hearing damage very, very quickly. Yeah. So why were you asking?
Well, I've had a little run-in with the neighbours.
Mm-hmm. Were you raving? Were you having a rave party at the Lavender residence?
It's kind of the other way around.
Oh, okay.
My neighbour's young daughter moved in, and whilst he was away,
right,
for about 3 or 4 weeks. In 21 days, she had 11 nights of music outside her house.
Yeah.
I'll just send you your phone handy. I just sent you a picture of an audio recording from inside my house. Not audio recording, a sound meter recording from inside my house.
Right. I'm just downloading the image as we speak. Oh, okay.
this is average.
And that's from inside your house?
Inside my house.
Holy crap.
And look at the consistency of the waveforms.
Yeah,
so, I mean they're pretty high. I mean,
yeah,
and those dips were pretty rare because it was techno music, so it was all just constant noise.
Yeah.
And
so what I'm seeing from this JPEG that you've sent me is that the average was 83.9.
Yeah, yeah. Over that short period of recording, the average is 83.9.
Right, okay.
But I've got some here that where the average is 91.9.
Right.
You know,
so were the police called?
Only one time. This is after at 3:30 in one morning. Have it because her boyfriend and all his mates are all screaming, singing AC/DC at the top of their lungs, 10 feet from my 6-year-old daughter's bedroom window.
Oh,
I may have gotten the phone to her and used some fairly tense language. but my mental health, suffering for the stress of that's been done to my kids. I mean, it starts like 6 o'clock at night,
yeah,
and goes on, and she went to her dad because she said, "Well, there's a fence between us, so deal with it."
Oh.
A metal fence, you know, and it's all bass. The metal yep. fence doesn't yep. block bass whatsoever,
no.
you know.
No.
So it just goes on and on and on, and it's the type of music. It's not like it's anything you'd ever want to listen to. Yourself.
So what time of the night was this going on till?
It sort of finished most nights about 12.
Right.
But our council legal maximum time is 11 on a Friday, Saturday, and 10 on a weeknight.
Oh, okay.
Let me just see if I can play this for you. Hang on a sec. Can you hear that noise?
Yep.
So it sounds like a record, something stuck.
It sounds like white noise, yeah.
Well, that's basically what some of the sound was like. It was just... here's what I'm looking for. Is this what I'm looking for? Hear that?
Yeah.
That at 100 decibels.
Wow.
For 15 minutes.
Yikes.
That's the music. That's the music. So,
wow.
Yeah, just ding, 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 on and on. There's not even music. Driving me insane. So needless to say, I've had a little bit of stress.
Yeah, right.
Over that December period.
You know what you need to do, don't you?
What's that?
You need to conduct a photo shoot with industrial strength lighting in your backyard that just happens to inconveniently shine into their bedroom windows. And
well,
do it at midnight.
They're shining into our bedroom windows. So I'm not sure if it's ever really not. Fortunately, it's all that she's never laid back in the house again, apparently, because they broke all the dishes and all the cups. And,
oh, wow.
And he's moving out. And he's moving out, and a friend of his is moving in with a 22-year-old daughter. So, yeah, that was they're really quiet. They're really quiet. So that was a bit of stress. Then me and my youngest daughter nearly drowned.
How?
Over the Christmas period. Well, we're in the river, my daughters were in a river swimming.
Yeah.
Up in Brighton, up in country Victoria, with reasonable people in reasonable distance. But all of a sudden, my daughter, who can swim quite proficiently, was in very deep water, just panicked.
Okay.
Because she, whatever it is, kids, because she's 6, yeah, she panicked, and all of a sudden started going under. You know? So I run and I jump in, fully clothed, but I can't swim.
Oh.
And we're up to water that's, I don't know, it's like 15 feet deep.
Sorry, so aren't you a trout fisherman?
Yeah, but doesn't mean I'm not going to die in the river someday, as I almost have many times in the past.
Okay.
But there's me mid-river, yeah, trying to hold up this 6-year-old kid with one arm, paddle with my bung right arm with my shoulders, not particularly good for any sort of stretch. trying to get myself out of this damn water, whilst my 10-year-old sitting there panic-stricken 5 feet from me, not being able to function either because she's seeing all the stuff going on.
Yeah, right.
And it was only literally by the fact that I called for help and then had to call again, before people actually realised, and someone ran out and swam out and grabbed Grace.
Wow.
And then this is kind of grabbed me and dragged me in as well. it was all going to end really badly in front of a lot of people.
Oh, yeah, yeah. How deep was the water?
Who knows, because you couldn't feel the bottom, but it had to be at least 15 feet.
Yeah, right. Wow.
At least five or six metres.
Yeah.
So there's no way, yeah, and even after I swam as much as I could to shore whilst holding somebody up out of the water, and what I realised in the past, I should just hold the hang on by my neck and I could have breaststroked or something reasonably to shore. It was only 10 feet or so.
Yeah.
But in that moment of panic, and of course panic saps your strength as well.
Yeah.
Adrenaline doesn't necessarily kick in and give you strength. It's also terrifying. So that was a really horrible moment.
Yeah.
Let's see. Not the last horrible. So I'll go through the three majors. 3 days ago, I thought I'd take the kids to the beach. The lovely 22-degree day, it was a gentle cool breeze, it was overcast, it was the perfect day. I slipped, I slopped, I slapped with the kids, they're all covered in sunscreen and everything else, and send them out there. Forgot to do myself.
Oh!
To the point where I now have 2 feet that look like footballs, because they're so swollen.
Wow.
That's why you can't see your ankle bones.
Yeah.
Wow. From sunburn, and so 3 days in, the store's bright red as a lobster.
Oi, 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 that's got to hurt.
All swollen. Oh, yeah. It does when I took my youngest to ice skating today, and I can only wear thongs because I can't wear shoes or socks. And then she steps on my sunburn with an ice skate.
Oh!
With a blade.
Oh, that hurts just thinking about it.
Oh, man. So I've had a tortured couple of weeks. Then the good stuff, we took the kids to see Aladdin, the stage show last week.
Oh, nice.
That was what the most phenomenal, absolute ball, which was great. And then the missus took me to see the Book of Mormon.
Awesome.
Which is fabulous as well.
Was it good?
Oh, it's great. It's great stuff, yeah.
Yeah, that starts in Sydney in February. We want to go and see that.
You must go see it. But I've got to say, to any Mormons listening, I wonder what their viewpoint of this show is, because this is just really kind of out there.
Yeah.
And then that's what my kids yesterday to this. And if there's any Melbourne people listening, to go see this thing in our Docklands precinct called ArtVo, which is it's an interactive gallery. And it's interactive in a way that they've got all these paintings on the walls and on the floors that if you stand in a certain spot, looks all three-dimensional.
Oh, wow.
But you stand inside said piece of art, and if you have your photo taken, it looks like you're in that particular scene.
Oh, wow.
And there's stacks and stacks. I'll send you a couple so you can put them in the show notes. They are awesome. Just simply amazing what artwork and the right perspective can do.
Yeah, nice.
And, of course, this perspective, of course.
Bit
of creative thinking about how do you stand and how do you pose and these particular scenes and stuff like that. But it was an awesome day. I don't know, it must have been probably 50 or 60 of these things.
Yeah, right.
These
installations. Installations?
Yeah, just paintings on the wall and the floor. So I'll just send a couple through to you just then so you have a bit of a feel for what I'm talking about.
Sure.
And that was fabulous. So if you're in Melbourne and you want to do something that's a little bit photographic related, a little bit arty related, and a bit of understanding. And you know what was really great for? It's really understanding perspective and viewpoint and where you stand. And if you stand a little bit higher, if you stand a little bit lower, how it changes stuff.
Yeah,
if you zoom in and zoom out. It was a really good lesson for, I was thinking, oh, she'd be great
for
a workshop.
For composition,
Just understand how your placement really, really is. So we're finally talking about something photographic. It's just not bad for 20 minutes in. how your placement is so important. Your relation to the thing you're shooting, and how how different perspectives can have very, very different feels. Yeah.
Yep.
So that was an awesome thing. So I said if anyone coming to Melbourne, I would highly recommend going to see that. And lastly, I did my first workshop for the year on Saturday, and boy, it was eye rusty.
Oh, really?
A light photo walk, and it's just like, I'm driving in, and I've got not a solitary idea what to do. It's 4 hours of straight shooting, so it's 4 hours of coming up with ideas.
But this was the natural light photo walk, right?
Yeah.
But surely, to someone of your calibre, shooting natural light has to be as easy as breathing.
Only if you've got good natural light.
Oh, okay. Well,
when you're walking around on an overcast, dull day, you've got the same options as non-caliber people.
Right.
Yeah, you might be 45 Magnum, if that's a caliber. 45, but you're still going like a BB gun or something.
Yeah, right.
But it's even just a matter of trying to be creative, trying to be imaginative, trying to vary the stuff. You know, and quite a few of the people have done the stuff before, so you don't want to be preaching to the converted. You want to be offering them some new value, new information.
Right.
So it's just if you haven't, it's just rusty. The first time I've done a workshop in a while, we got some really cool, some pretty good shots out of it. My favourite thing was the very last shot we did. I had a painter's drop sheet.
Right.
Do you know those? Yeah, but it's one of these disposable ones you can buy at a hardware store, which is basically a huge piece of translucent fabric.
Yes, plastic. Yep.
Yeah, really, 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 really thin. You know, you think it's like $1.50 or something, or $1 at a hardware store. And the disposable, they're meant to be used once, but these things are so lightweight they just drift and blow. I mean, it's better than any fabric I've ever worked with as far as getting flow and movement going.
Oh, really?
It takes almost no air to make these things just flow. And I basically, you know, with model's permission, put the whole thing over her head and suffocated her.
I saw that shot, yes.
Yeah, and then we did all this. No, I couldn't do any shots because other people were shooting, but we did all this sort of stuff of flying it up and down and flowing it and doing different sort of shapes of it. And then once everyone was pretty happy with the shots they got, then I got her to, you know, rip it open like she was coming out of a shell or something.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Which was really cool. Yeah, for $1.50, it was probably the best investment. So I'm going to get another one for my upcoming flash photo walk next Saturday.
Yeah.
And I'm going to try and same thing. I'll do the same fabric, the same over the top, but I want to try and light the drop sheet with coloured gels.
Nice.
And see if we can get this change, this translucent stuff, and these really cool, weird, floating colour things around our subject. It could look awesome.
So are you thinking that you'd have the light and the gels on the camera side of the plastic or behind the plastic?
I'm thinking actually below the subject firing up.
Yeah, right, yep.
The ground's firing straight up, so she's sort of, there should be probably one on the left of her, one on the right of her, pointing straight up.
Yeah, nice.
And they're becoming lighting her up from underneath, so hopefully she'll light a little bit as well. And maybe, maybe I don't know if we can get a flash lighting her face because it might flash off the plastic too much.
Yeah, yeah, right.
And then if she's got a bit of that colour on her as well, then she sort of blends in with this stuff that's floating around her. Yeah, so I look forward to seeing those.
Yeah, awesome.
No better time than to try something completely new as when you're in front of customers.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, I saw you did a photo shoot.
I did.
At least one.
I did.
A bikini.
So just to rewind a little bit, I spent most of Christmas and, you know, the latter part of December pretty much incapacitated.
Oh, really?
I woke up one morning and I could not bear any weight on my left heel. And I've had this happen once or twice before, and it normally just goes away after a day. But this time it hung around, and I eventually went off to the doctor. And
did you Google doctor?
No. I went to a real doctor. Okay. Dr. IRL, and he said it's a condition known as plantar fasciitis.
Fasciitis, yeah.
And it's an inflammation of the soft tissue under the heel bone.
I know, I suffered it the last 2 years.
Oh, really?
That's what's been bleeding. But luckily for me, only in both feet.
Oh, what? How do you get around?
It's finally gone, but it took 2 years to go.
Yikes.
So for 2 years, I could hardly walk. But you know what it's like? And as you say, often you get up and it's really sore for X amount of minutes and it starts to ease up. And
yep.
During the day, it can get really sore again. And every time you take a break, it gets worse and so on.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's an inflammation of the plantar fasciitis of the
soft
little
tissue.
Yeah, it's like a covering over a nerve.
Right.
So it's like a sheath. The sheath over the nerve, that inflames, because it inflames, it affects the nerves. So what happened?
So basically I was on crutches from the 18th of December, and I'd hired them for a month, but I probably only used them for the first week, and then, you know, when I was around the house, I generally just limp around and, you know, only put the ball of my left foot on the ground, you know, I saw that Tegan, who I have shot with on two or three occasions before.
Before we do the model, let's talk about your plantar fasciitis a bit more. So how did it go away?
It just eventually went away, and I think it was just a case of me resting it as much as I could. And, you know, as one of the upsides of not being gainfully employed right now was that I was able to, you know, give it some rest, you know, while I was at home, not having to, you know, bear weight on it unnecessarily.
Yeah.
So it was just a case of taking it easy as much as I could, and it just slowly got better and better. The first week of January, I stupidly went back to the gym with Max, and Did two nights back to back at the gym, and the morning after the second night at the gym, I woke up and I could barely walk again. And so I was like, okay, my body's clearly not ready to go back to the gym just yet. So gave it another couple of weeks, and sort of in the last, you know, week or so, I was kind of pushing the limits of doing the beach shoot when I did, because that was Wednesday of last week. But I figured, oh, it's going to be on sand. That'll be pretty soft and, you know, reasonably well cushioning.
No.
No. And, of course, up the end of the beach, there was
one thing, though,
rock platform.
This is really important, and it might change your life.
Okay.
It's your back.
Right.
Plantar fasciitis, almost off 90% of the time, it's coming from your back.
Okay. Why?
So something out of it's the way it works. So something out of whack in your back that's causing this pull and causing this problem in your feet.
Right.
So that would make perfect sense if you went to the gym, because you're using your back.
Yep.
A lot.
Yep.
That is causing. So just if I was you, I would go get just have a little bit of a checkup on the back, make sure nothing's out of whack. Because I said I normally do. I bleated and moaned for a long time, didn't do anything about it, never saw anybody. And then one day I put my back out.
Right.
Really funny. It was my neck went out.
Yep.
Really badly. And then it sort of shifted. It went, then my neck got clear, and then my lower L5 lower back went out.
Yeah.
It was like it was pinging back and forth. And soon, the instant my back went out, both of my feet cured instantly, same day.
Wow.
So after a year and a half or so of walking on in pain, the second my back clicked and went out of whack, so that tension was gone, both feet cured.
Wow. That's crazy.
I mean, literally within like minutes.
Wow.
Within minutes it was gone. You know, after 2 years of constant pain. So I would, if it comes back, maybe not straight away, but if it starts to come back, get someone has a bit of a gander at your back just to make sure as well.
Interesting.
It's often, you know, the whole everything's connected.
For sure.
Pinched in one point, just pulling on somewhere else.
I'd shot with Tegan a couple of times in the past, and I just happened to see her post on one of the photography groups, like Hunter Valley Photographers Group or whatever it was, saying that she'd got some new swimming costumes, and she was interested in doing a beach shoot, and was anyone interested? And I reached out and said, hey, you know, look, I'm a little bit rusty because I haven't been shooting for a while, but I'd love to do it. And, you know, she shot with me before, so she knew me. I was a known quantity. So she said, yeah, great, let's do it. So we organized for a beach just up 10 minutes from my place, and probably a half-hour drive for her. And and we aimed for Wednesday morning of last week, and I said let's try and be on the beach, you know, ready to shoot at 6 o'clock, because sunrise was at about 6:10. I figured we'd get just the last little bit of, you know, blue hour before the sun came up, and then we'd make the most of the sunrise. And as it happened, the morning was absolutely perfect. There was this great mixture of cloud in between the horizon and the beach. So there were times where we had really heavy cloud in front of the sun, so we had really soft light. There were times when we just get a little bit of sun poke through, and so you just get a little bit of harshness. And then, you know, later in the morning around about 8 o'clock, the sun completely got up over the top of the clouds and we had bright sunlight. So we kind of got a little bit of everything, which was just perfect, you know.
That's what you want, yeah.
And, and so I took a boom stand with me down to the beach and a sandbag to keep it steady while I had a softbox on it.
Do you take a bag that you filled with sand, or do you take a sandbag?
I actually have a sandbag, you know, one of those yellow and black stripy ones. Yes, I know. I know.
You take like a supermarket shopping bag, fill up with sand when you get down there. Just a little tip for future reference. Because there is sand usually down there you can use. All you need is the bag.
So, I took two speed lights with me. One my brand new Yongnuo guide number of 62, which we talked about last year, which you told me doesn't really have a guide number of 62 at all, and one of my other Yongnuos, which is a guide number of 42, and I had Honnel Photo full CTO gels on both.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, basically,
full CTOs. Why are you shooting full CTOs?
I don't know. I should
have made them very orange.
Say again.
Should have made them very orange. Very warm.
Yes.
Were they very warm?
So what I noticed was that when I color balanced the images in post and made the skin tones correct, then it made all of the background a lot bluer.
Yeah. So you shot the wrong gels.
Yeah, probably.
Right. So you want like a quarter CTO is all you need.
Okay, why?
Not a full CTO?
Because now I'm kind of thinking, should I have shot CTB instead, gone blue?
No. Because what you want to do is you want to warm up the light coming out of the flash just a bit.
Yeah.
Okay, to give a little bit of warmth on the skin tones to be not quite so flashed looking.
Right.
Okay, so a quarter CTO will do that perfectly. But anything stronger than that is too orange, so when you try and bring the skin tones back to something normal, it turns everything else cold.
Yeah.
What you want is slightly warmer skin tones than you would normally get with the flash.
Right.
And the normal tones that are in the scene.
Right, okay.
So having the quarter CTO, you have a slightly warmer skin. And the same thing that if you're doing shots in like any sort of reception venue where you've got a lot of tungsten light or candles or chandeliers where all the light's quite warm, you want to put a quarter CTO gel on your flash there as well. Because that'll warm up your flashlight to give it a little bit more of warmth to the skin tones, which will kind of blend a little bit more with the scene rather than having this quite cold flash-lit shot.
Right, okay.
Even if you get your exposure perfect, there's still going to be a cold white light compared to all the rest of the scenes quite warm-toned.
Yeah, right.
So I know a lot of photographers just leave a quarter CTO gel on all the time.
Right.
They never take it off.
Yeah, right.
Because that's all they do is shoot people with them and they always want to warm up the tone. So.
Right, okay. Okay, it's useful.
We're setting the bar way too high. Dude. We've come up with a sandbag tip and a quarter CTO gel tip.
Yeah.
And how to fix your back if you get plantar fasciitis. I think we should quit now.
Yeah. Quit while we're in. So you saw the images then. Were there any that you particularly wanted to rip apart?
I thought I would say 60% of them were really quite good.
Oh, thank you. And which?
And I liked Facebook.
You liked what?
I actually liked them on Facebook, so you know I was saying they're good.
So there were
a few which is stuff you don't. I wouldn't have posted the images because the facial expression wasn't quite right, and maybe the pose was a bit awkward. And you put up like 18 photos from the shoot or something.
Probably.
Yeah, something. Yeah,
too many.
Put up six.
Right.
Well, pick the best. Yeah, don't start going to the mediocre, the less good ones, shall we say?
Right.
Just show you good stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, you know which are the ones that you like the most.
Yep.
But those ones up.
I was happy with the shoot. I thought, given that I hadn't done a shoot with a model in over 12 months. Oh, sorry, no, that's not true because I did shoot that stuff with Tammy in September, but that was a real rush shoot, that one. So I hadn't really done a planned, shoot like this since probably the Little Red Riding Hood shoot, which was winter of last year. Or was that? Oh, whenever it was. So, I thought, given how rusty I was really happy with the way these came out.
Oh, I thought you did well.
Thank you.
Yeah, other than just a few that I didn't think you necessarily needed to post.
Yeah.
I thought your best stuff was good.
Well, that's unusual for you.
But I always say, this is one of my customers too. I'll say if I think it's crap, but I'll also say if I think it's good.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Hey, you put 23 photos up.
Right. Probably could have done with just 10.
Yeah, and you've got your usual case of a bit of the ones I didn't particularly like are the ones where you've overlit as well.
Right.
You tend to overlight a bit.
Okay.
So you put your light's just always just a little bit too straight on to where you're standing.
Are you saying that the flash was too powerful for the sun?
No, it's too straight. It's too straight on. One thing overlit meaning there's too much light on your subject.
Right.
So when I say overlit, I'm not talking about exposure. I'm talking about angle.
Right, okay.
So you have a tendency, and a lot of people do, is to overlight your subjects.
Right.
So when you have the lights pretty much in line with your camera, which is where a lot of them look, maybe from above, but still pretty much in line of, it might only be two or three, but maybe, I'm going to say most of these are about a meter or so to your left, would that be right?
Somewhere, mostly to the right. Mostly
Okay, all the ones I'm looking at here are all left.
Okay, so the first two were before sun came up, and that first image I probably shouldn't have bothered posting.
That's the one with the holding an elbow?
Yeah. So that so there the flash was camera left, as was the second and third shots.
Exactly. And you can see this, she's just too lit.
Yeah.
There's just too much light in her. Yeah. And once again, maybe you should have gone, if you could, depending on the scene, gone camera right to make it feel like it was the sun rising. And just had have the light almost behind her. So you've got just this edge of light cutting onto her.
Right.
Yeah. So take that light rather than a meter or so to your right. Well, to your left, but put it to your right, but to take it all the way around almost to 90 degrees, or maybe even to 100 degrees, a little bit behind her.
Right.
And then you're going to get this little rim of light. It's like the sun's rising.
Right.
It's like she's been lit by the glow of the morning sun,
okay,
as opposed to well, this nuclear explosion that you put on her. But you've got one of her sitting by the rocks as the waves crash.
Yep.
I like the shot. The first one there, so she's kind of got this cheeky little grin on her face.
Yep.
But see how the shadow from her hair and the shadow of her nose all blended as one big blump.
Yep.
So maybe, does she need to be looking at you? Could she be looking out towards the light a bit more?
Right, yep.
That solves that problem. B, she's looking at the waves crashing, so it adds to the story.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It adds a bit of melancholy, a bit of interest to the story, maybe.
Okay.
The next one with the waves crashing.
Yep.
That's cool.
Yeah, I like that shot.
Good dramatic shot. Yeah, that's your killer, I think, for those ones. The next one with the sort of leaning back on the beach, that's with all the lights on her. I just would have cloned out the person in the background.
I thought about doing that and then just decided, nah, to hell with it. But yeah, okay, fair enough.
You should do it. But now, when you have that thought,
yep.
This is ridiculous. We're never going to live up to this episode for a whole year. So there's two things in this image that bother me. There's this person and that black blob to the left of her foot, and just in the waterline.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, okay, yep.
So, clone it out.
Yep.
Clone the both out, and then look at the two of them again. Look at the one as it stands, and the one with the... And then see. Don't go, oh, should I take it out or not? Do it. Look at both of them, and that will tell you which you prefer.
Yeah, fair
enough. Because it's hard. One, you're imagining what might it look like without it, but not really knowing.
Yep.
And one, when you take it out there, you'll know, and your eye will go differently. Your eye will stay on her more. Your eye is naturally drawn to that subject in the background. It's
right.
Almost unavoidable.
Yeah.
Which is not necessarily a bad thing. You know, you could be like, you know, implying there's some sort of pervert staring at some girl, but I don't know, the story, you know. But, you know, but just doing that sort of, if you're umming and ahhing about cloning something out, clone it out. It takes 2 seconds. Even if it's a cruddy clone, just do it. Just a quick, basic, content-aware clone. And then look at the two and go, oh, you know, I prefer it as it was. Or, oh, no, that's much better.
Right.
And do a little bit better version of it. Yeah. And that way, you've trained your eye, if nothing else, as well. And, makes you a better shooter.
Fair enough.
And the next one's quite pleasant. Next one's pleasant. Next one's pleasant. Overlit, but pleasant. And it's tough again when you're shooting directly in the sun like that, because your sensor can't deal with the dynamic range.
No.
If you'd underexposed it enough to get the sun looking good, everything else would be nigh on black.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a trade-off. So if that were the case, I would do one of two things. If I really, really needed to shoot that angle directly in the sun, I would clone some clouds over the sun.
Oh, okay, yep.
Just take that big white blob out of the shot.
Yeah, right.
Or if the shot was... had more more freedom to it, I would step back, zoom in, and that narrower angle zoom would eliminate the sun.
Right.
So I'd still have that same lighting, same natural lighting, that's, you know, the highlight on the legs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But the viewpoint, and see that rock in the background where it's got those waves crashing over, just by her knees.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. If you'd zoomed in, stepped back and zoomed in, that would have come closer and bigger in the background. Might have been a nice dramatic element.
Okay.
You could have brought a bit more of that scene. But I'm really getting nitpicky here. I mean, I said for your first time doing it, it's done really good. Not the Aussie one, but the next one where she's looking out the sea. I really like that one. I think that's really cool.
Yeah. The next one after that I really like.
Yeah?
Yeah. You're not fussed on it?
Oh, it's just a bit overlit again. No, I think as far as pose and expression goes, it's one of her better ones.
Yeah.
So she's looking the most natural there. She's the most relaxed.
Yep.
Yeah. I just think it's just a little overlit. Yeah, it's just very flat because there's not much shadow in good places going on.
Right.
Oh, the next one's nice too. Next one's nice too. See, the next one, see where she's looking with her arm on her hand on her head. See how that's such a big block, that arm is such a big, heavy mass.
Right.
What I get people to do is, I think we should, if Jeff John send the link to these photos for the Facebook page.
I will.
Get her just to pull that arm. So let's imagine where she's looking is 12 o'clock.
Yep.
That elbow is pointing roughly at 12 o'clock too.
Yep.
I'll get her to pull that elbow out to about 2 o'clock.
Right.
What it does, it still has most of the shape, but then it's just going slightly away from the camera, so it's getting smaller and smaller rather than maintaining it such a big element. So it just softens that element a little bit. I think you might have found it's a little bit nicer. It would just add that extra 10% to the shot, which would elevate it a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Next one. Yeah, and then so scrap all the rest of the crappy ones. The one of her sitting on the railings of the fence.
The first or the second of those two?
First one holding the glasses. Yep. It's nice. Yeah. Yep. There's a bit of mood and a bit of attitude.
Yep.
The next one, she's trying to be too cutesy again.
Right.
So, look, but I mean, overall, I think you've got half a dozen pretty good images there.
Yeah. Okay.
And, as I said to my workshop group the other day, if you can come away with three or four images from a shoot that you're pretty happy with, you've done well.
Right. Okay.
So, she's got half a dozen from a shoot. I mean, my goal per year, if I'm lucky, is 6 to 10 images that I love.
Right, yeah.
I'm lucky. And most years I don't make that.
Yeah, right.
So if you can pull up half a dozen images from a shoot that you're really pleased with, well, that's a success, isn't it? Yeah. If you can come up with one image that you really love, that's a success.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, because if you're shooting for a cover of a magazine, you only need one image.
Exactly. Yeah.
If you're doing a shoot for the magazine, you need more for an editorial piece or whatever. But if you had to go out and shoot the cover of something, you only need one killer.
Yep.
Yeah, and the rest would just be consigned to the scrap heap.
Yep.
And there's that book by, I can never remember the name of the organisation completely. I talk about it from time to time. It's a book called Contact Sheet, Magnum. Okay. Magnum Contact Sheet.
Right.
And it's all the iconic photos that you know.
Yep.
Because it's back in the days of film. It's the contact sheet showing you where that photo was in relation to the shots before it and after it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and it's a great thing. You see, there's Marilyn Monroe doing the dress over the subway
tent. Yep.
Yeah, but the 10 shots before that aren't any good, and the 10 shots after that aren't any good.
Yeah, right.
That one shot, that's iconic.
Yeah.
But there's the crap around it, And that's often going to happen when there's things that are going to happen that are out of your control.
Yeah.
Like, let's say you're shooting those shots with those waves breaking in the background.
Yep.
Well, there's going to be lots of ones where you shoot where the waves just don't do what you thought they were going to do. Right? Yeah. They don't do anything interesting.
Yeah.
Or don't have good shape. Well, that's not your fault.
No.
Yeah. So, yeah. So you have to take a lot of shots, but you want to cull it down and maybe not post your 23 shots that worked, but drop it down to the 6 that you really, really like.
Yeah.
And you'll get better traction with the viewers because people probably don't want to sit and look through 23 photos except for her and her friends.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Anyway, oof, so what else have you been doing? You've hurt your legs.
So other than that, just, still looking for work.
Still looking for work? You're still doing some of the contract stuff? Still?
Yep. But that's not paying much.
No.
So
where to from here?
Well, there's a couple of things that I've got job applications out for, one of which is still hung over from last year, which I mentioned at the end of last year, and I said I think I've got a good chance at. They just haven't done anything about it, even though that position will need to be filled within the next couple of weeks because the new year will start for that business.
Yeah.
So hopefully I will hear something about that in the next week or two.
And, of course, if they get someone who's all ready to go like you, there's not much training required, so they can do it last minute.
That's true. That's true.
Why employ you for a month before the actual job needs to be started?
For sure. Yeah, exactly. I didn't expect them to, to say, yes, come and start now, even though there's nothing to do for a month, but I thought they would have started looking a little sooner rather than leaving
maybe,
it to the
last
minute.
Or maybe they said, look, the job's yours, but we don't want you to start until, whatever,
So anyway, putting job applications out left, right and centre for all sorts of things at the moment because, quite frankly, I'm really not interested in going back to radio now.
Really?
No. I still love audio, but I don't want to go back to radio. I've done 30 years of making radio commercials and I think I'm done.
Have you done any good ones?
I've done a few good ones. I've got a few awards to my name, but But you know, it's just the same crap over and over again. And, you get to a point where you go, you know what, I really want to do something
different.
Hey, you
should be a photographer because that's different all the time.
There we go.
God. It's the same stuff every time. But it's the first time for that customer.
That's right.
You've done that shot a million times, but it's the first time that person's had that shot done.
Yeah, and look, I've always tried to, you know, make every commercial as well as I could make it.
Yeah.
But you still end up, you know, dealing with numbnuts and you feel like you're banging a head against a wall most of the time. And like I said, after 3 decades of it, I just feel like it's time I did something different. So I'm open to, opportunities at the moment.
Yeah, oh well, I hope things go well for you.
Yeah, so anyway.
Should we talk some...
other photography stuff?
Yeah.
I saw something on pedestrian TV. This just came up today.
I should ask a question. What is pedestrian TV?
Oh, I don't know. It's just a website.
Okay.
But I thought this was hilarious. The headline is Hotel Banned...
Just speaking of, why are mountains so funny?
I don't know.
Because they're hilarious.
Thank you. Hotel bans bloggers outright after hilarious spat with 22-year-old influencer.
I did see the headline, but I never actually got to see the article, so I'm curious.
So basically what happened was that this girl, who's, 22-year-old from Florida, no, not Florida, where's she from? Somewhere in the US. Anyway, she's emailed this hotel in Dublin, Ireland, and said, my partner and I are planning to come to Dublin for an early Valentine's Day weekend from February the 8th to the 12th to explore the area. As I was searching for places to stay, I came across your stunning hotel and would love to feature you in my YouTube videos and dedicated Instagram stories and posts to bring traffic to your hotel and recommend others to hook up in return for free accommodation. To book in return for free accommodation. Last year I worked with Universal Orlando in Florida and it's been amazing for them. Let me know if this is something you'd be interested in, blah, 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 blah. And the owner of the hotel has replied, dear social influencer, I know your name, but apparently it's not important to use names. Thank you for your email looking for free accommodation in return for exposure. And this is why I've included this story, because I know it's going to ring very relevant to all of our listenership. It takes a lot of balls to send an email like that, if not much self-respect and dignity. If I let you stay here in return for a feature in your video, who's going to pay the staff who look after you? Who's going to pay the housekeepers who clean your room? The waiters who serve your breakfast? The receptionist who checks you in? Who's going to pay for the light and the heat you use during your stay? The laundering of your bed sheets? The water rates? Maybe I should tell my staff they'll be featured in your video in lieu of receiving payment for work carried out while you're in residence. And it goes on. Anyway, fairly tears her a new one and finishes with, P.S., the answer is no.
I like this, though. Lucky for us, we too have a significant social media following. We have 180,000 followers on our two Facebook pages, an estimated 80,000 on our Snapchat, and 32,000 on Instagram, and a paltry 12,000 on our Twitter. But Jesus Christ, I would never in a million years ask someone for anything for free. I also blog a bit, which as far as I'm aware is another saying write stuff on the internet. And the above stats do not make me any better than anyone else or afford me the right to not pay for something that everyone else has to pay for. In the future, I'd advise you to pay your way like everyone else, and if the hotel in question believes your coverage will help them, maybe they'll give you a complimentary upgrade to a suite. This would show more self-respect on your part, and let's face it, it would be less embarrassing for you. Here's a little video I produced, which you may learn from. I'm going to go watch that now.
So apparently, after she received this reply, she then created like this 17-minute video called "I Was Exposed" in brackets, so embarrassing, bemoaning the fact that she got rejected. And apparently, like, you know, all of her followers retweeted, reblogged, or whatever. And so the guy who owns this hotel has got all this free publicity.
Yeah.
And he didn't have to give away, didn't have to give away 4 nights of accommodation to get it. But I thought, you know, in the light of, you know, everything we hear about on an almost daily basis of people wanting photographers to shoot for free, I thought this was just so relevant.
Awesome. I do get a lot of free stuff. Does that make me shallow? Probably. I can live with that.
Carl sent us an email and said, Happy New Year, Bruce and Glenn.
Happy New Year, Carl.
Similar things out there already, but this Ready for Anything cinema robot has some cool features. Watch the video on the website, and it's gomovi.com. And essentially, this thing is...
A robot that goes to the movies for you.
A handheld gimbal for your smartphone.
Yeah.
So basically, for people who want to shoot video and use their smartphone to do it, but have that nice, smooth, cinematic quality to it, to the movement, this thing, for the not insignificant price of $300, will give you that nice flowing motion to your handheld camera phone video footage. So thank you for that one, Carl. And the other one...
My very lovely people at DJI just released a new one of those too.
Okay, cool. The other thing that Carl sent us was a post from scottkelby.com, which was Scott Kelby's wrap-up of the best guest posts that he had on his blog through 2017. If you go to that link, he's got links to all of the guest posts that really stuck out to him for why they were interesting guest posts. So he gets photographers from all different genres of photography as guests to write a piece for his blog and to supply some images of the type of stuff that they shoot. And there's just some really interesting content on there. And don't ask me what they were, because I looked at this 3 weeks ago when Carl sent me the link, and I haven't looked at it recently.
I should have to put a little warning in. I'm about to be hit by a massive thunderstorm.
Oh.
I can hear it coming. I just looked at my radar, and it is...
Okay, I've got one last thing, and that was from Rob Coates, who said, G'day Inks, here's a salutary warning for us all. I'll put the link in the show notes. This was on abc.net.au, which is the Australian National Broadcaster's website. The story of an Adelaide man, Anthony Vandermeer, who was killed in King's Canyon. He was just walking along with his tripod,
in a thunderstorm like I'm about to be hit with. He had it over his shoulder. Just walking along.
As you do. Yep. And lightning was attracted to it, and whacko.
Be very, very careful out there.
All right, so what have you got?
Most of my things aren't important. So I only had, because I literally think we're about to almost probably lose power. Let's flick it a couple of times. One is on Petapixel. I saw that this company called Aurora Aperture just announced a gradual variable neutral density filter.
Right. Okay.
The only problem is it's not gradual.
Right. It's filter.
Half black, half lighter.
Yeah.
There's no gradual in that at all. That's just two-tone.
Oh, hang on. That looks like... Oh, actually, is it a reverse? Oh, no, it's not a reverse grad. The right-hand image of those first two images makes it look like a reverse grad, but it's not. It's actually...
So they're calling it the world's first variable GND filter, but I think it's more the world's first variable duo neutral density filter. It's a pretty hard and fast line.
Oh! No. Have you scrolled down and seen the animated GIF?
No.
If you scroll down a little further, you'll see the animated GIF, and you can see that it's actually got two rings, and as you rotate it, the top half gets darker or lighter according to the rotation.
Yeah, but the line in the middle stays hard.
Oh, yes, but the line in the middle is certainly
That's why it's not gradual.
No.
It's gradual if it graduates from darker to
lighter. Yeah.
Not this top half's darker, lighter, the bottom half's whatever. Yeah.
That's only going to work if you put that line right on the horizon.
Exactly.
Of every shot you take.
And as long as it's the sea you're taking photos of, where there's no trees or hills or anything that she has. The last thing here is really important. I've put a link there to all the great photo products announced at CES just gone by.
Right. And there are no links.
Oh, that's right. Yes, because there's none. Yeah, pretty bleak for our industry that there's not a decent product announced. But anyway.
Really? And did you want to talk about the Facebook thing or not?
No, I'll talk about it next week.
Okay. All right, mate. Well, good to talk to you.
We've exceeded our quality quota for the week.
Right, for the year.
And lovely to have me back. So I've got a couple of weeks, then I'm off to Bangladesh, so we've got to get a couple more episodes in, and I'll be off for a couple of weeks. But all good.
Awesome. All right, mate. Well, you have a good week.
Thank you.
And we'll
take
talk
care.
To you soon.
I'm going to go get my tripod and go stand out in this thunderstorm.
Excellent.
Actually, I might get the girl next door to hold my tripod.
Nice.
Take care, everyone.
See you, mate.
You're well.
Bye.
See ya.
Now, a couple of weeks ago, I got an email from a girl called Jen Long. And Jen is the photographer and entrepreneur behind a platform called Wandersnap. And I had a look at it and I thought, this is really interesting. And I thought we'd get her on for a chat. To quote her bio, Jen Long is the snap-happy founder for a new type of travel tech startup that marries photography with social impact. Jen, welcome to Shutters Inc. What exactly does that mean?
That's a good question. Hi, guys. My name is Jen. I started Wandersnap about a year ago, and the intent was really to how we can create purposeful jobs in destinations that people typically travel to. I think for most of us who love photography, being able to do it freelance to create, it's actually a luxury. It really depends on the upbringing that you had, your education, income level, and being able to even afford a camera to create freelance was something that we wanted to bring to all corners of Southeast Asia.
So the idea is, if you own a camera and you have the skills to create great imagery, you can freelance yourself out to people who are visiting your neck of the woods from somewhere else in the world, and you can bring your photographic skills and presumably a little bit of your local knowledge to create great travel images for these people who are visiting. Is that the idea?
Yeah, that's part of it. As long as you have a camera, as you said, you have the skill set and the heart to create, and you believe you should be paid for it, then correct. They can come onto the platform, create a free profile, and get booked right through the system.
Yeah, right.
When we first started, it was, as you said, exclusively travelers. So foreigners coming to visit your local areas in Chiang Mai and Bangkok, Bali, etc. But now it's actually ballooned to much more than that. It's local families, local businesses, and then we also serve bigger regional brands like Uber, Deliveroo, etc.
So, how are you benefiting someone like Uber?
Yeah, so on Uber Eats, every single restaurant has photos of every dish along with the environment.
Right.
Somebody somewhere has to do that.
So our team
from Kuala Lumpur to Hong Kong shoot regionally for businesses that are dependent on content. But at the end of the day, it really comes back to the community that we've curated. Without the creators, we don't have content that we can help with, whether that's families, couples, or businesses.
Wow. So how long ago did you start Wandersnap?
Feels like a forever ago. but just shy of a year ago, actually last January.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I'm assuming at the moment it's still Southeast Asia-centric, but I'm assuming there are plans to expand beyond that?
Correct. So we're already in 58 cities in Pan-Asia, so everywhere from Australia, New Zealand to Indonesia, China, Korea, and beyond.
Yep.
But this spring, our plan is to open up global signups. So regardless of where you're based, the intent is still the same. If you have a camera, you believe you should be paid to curate awesome content in photos or videos, then you're welcome to sign up.
Wow. What a great concept.
Thank you so much.
No, I think it's fantastic because it's funny because my wife and I, we were on holiday middle of 2017, so to June, July. We did 3 weeks through Europe, which, you know, for us is a long way from home, and it was great to be in a different part of the world. And I happened to say, I mentioned to her, you know, wouldn't it be awesome if you could get a job as a photographer for, you know, uber wealthy people who, you know, go on these fantastic holidays but have, you know, no one of skill to take their holiday snaps for them, you know. And it's kind of almost related in a way that what you have done sort of fills that need almost.
I think there's a few sound bites there. The first is around affordability. Sure. So when we first started, and then there was a reason to be Asia focused, because I think the talent is largely undertapped. The value hasn't been yet as actualized than, let's say, a creator in the middle of Paris or New York, where the price point is much higher.
Right.
And so our intent was always to curate for affordability. It needed to be a bite-sized pricing, anywhere from 20 USD to 200 USD an hour, just dependent on location, experience, and review. That then price does not become a gatekeeper as to whether or not a family or a couple is willing to try. Then the best part is that all the creators set their own price. So there's no minimum band. And as they get more reviews, we've seen some of our top performers immediately change and adjust upwards for their price, which is, I think, a good benchmark as to whether or not they're making a good income from us.
Yeah, nice.
And then secondly, it was there is still a behavior that needs to be promoted for and educated, right? It's not for every 100 person that you ask whether or not you're comfortable to have a stranger to follow you behind the lens, there's a percentage that would say, yeah, sure, I guess. And then a large majority would still need to be comforted for them to feel safe,
right,
and ultimately for them to feel like the creator is really bringing their vision to life.
Sure. I guess you could live your own paparazzi dreams, couldn't you? I've got my own paparazzi following me around.
in a way. And you know, to be fair, I think most of the families that we've curated for, it's actually been less about the vanity. It's been less about posting it to social media and getting likes, which we presumed would be some part of the consumer behavior. Instead, it's really just been normal, average, day-to-day people who really wanted spectacular visuals that they're proud of, that they would save, and ultimately bring it up later on. And I think that sort of humanity ends up being a really important part on what we do. It's not helping people to get more likes, but just helping people preserve memories for life.
Yeah. And it is so important to do that. You know, having had a camera in my hand for years and years and years, mm-hmm. you know, I always come home from my holidays with hundreds or, you know, maybe even a couple of thousand images, depending on how long the holiday was and where it was and whatever. And I can at least go through, you know, those images and always come up with at least a couple of hundred that I am really happy with and that always serve as a great reminder to what that holiday was like and the places we went, the people we met and interacted with. And I so often see images on other people's social media, you know, people who are not photographers, you know, you see images on their social media channels and just go, really? That's the best you came home with? And I kind of feel sorry for people like that. I get it. Not everyone's a photographer. Not everyone wants to take the time and effort to create great images, but I'm sure most people would like to have great images. So it's, I think what you're doing is a fantastic idea, and I really hope it takes off in a big way for you.
Thank you so much. And we definitely agree that we presume that all our guests are living the best lives anyway. And best lives don't just have to happen abroad or visiting somewhere. It's the day-to-day quiet moments too. It's the anniversaries, the birthdays,
sure.
Girls' night out, your kids, you know, first day in school. All those quiet moments are best moments too. And so we just get to come in and help preserve those best moments through visuals that I think are of quality. And ultimately, those are content that you're proud of to look at often.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about some of these other things that you're involved in outside of Wandersnap. Because it seems like you've got your finger in a lot of pies.
Sure. I travel quite extensively, blessedly, through our business. And so on the road, I shoot quite a bit myself as well. Mm-hmm. I'm a huge fitness nut. So anything to do with fitness, I'm usually there. I'm an avid hiker. I teach spin and TRX on the side. and just all around, I'm really genuinely passionate about social impact projects. So Those are typically areas in how I split my time.
That's fantastic. Okay, you've blown me away. I sort of have run out of questions to ask. Is there anything that I should have asked you that I haven't yet?
I guess there's one on, you know, our team has spent a lot of time in thinking about the percentage of people, like we said, who may not feel comfortable or feel the need to have a personal photographer to help capture moments. And we thought, sort of, what's the turning point to really reach this group? And what we realized was, and I think this is relevant for all photographers, right, where as iPhones and other phone brands become more and more mobile and more precise, our craft, shooting DSLR, will fundamentally be challenged in a significant way. And I think when you compare between a DSLR, a traditional one, versus the iPhone X, the biggest difference is probably on the instantaneousness of the content that you get via the iPhone. It's fairly decent. It's easy to edit, easy to use. And so most of our guests who initially thought, Wanderstamp's not for us, it's always mostly because they feel like their iPhones are already doing the job. So we also developed a hardware with an Android app that sits on all DSLRs, regardless of your brand and model. And imagine the moment you press the shutter button on the camera, it instantly edits, watermarks, and uploads to a branded landing page. And the whole flow is all automatic, instant, and AI-driven. And so for us, it's also thinking about beyond what we do in the marketplace, in the matching of creatives with businesses and customers. How else can we actually help photographers save time, edit less, and be able to shoot more?
Sorry, you said you developed hardware, and this hardware is brand agnostic? You can mount it on any DSLR?
For the time being, correct. We haven't opened this up to all signups yet. So Wanderstamp photographers for now have access to it. And it's a really just great value to, I think, events and event organizers or even brides, right? Mm-hmm. I always marvel at how after a bride wakes up the morning after her wedding, she's always posting an iPhone photo that some guest took. And then the caption would be, "We finally got married." Mm-hmm. And it boggles me that the couple probably spent so much money in hiring a top wedding photographer, but those edits will not come out for a month, if not a few months later.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so being able to have this technology to at least get instant visuals out, there are light enhancements. They'll never replace the stylistic, authentic edits that I think a lot of creators are proud of. But it's enough adjustments to have them be pushed out to social media and create buzz instantly.
Nice. So presumably this piece of hardware has some sort of either Wi-Fi or Bluetooth transmitter that it can upload those images straight to the landing site that you mentioned.
Exactly. It's basically tethered to from the camera to this app, and then from the app it uploads. And at the point of upload, it instantly edits watermarks, which we all know that it's such a pain to add 3 to 4 watermarks. There's just no easy way of doing it.
Yep.
So even being able to have that automatically done, and then your guests or your customers can download from their phone instantly, they're probably more likely to share.
That is great. I guess for the Asian market, that would work really well because you've got pretty ubiquitous, Wi-Fi pretty much everywhere you go. I'm thinking about places in Australia where that wouldn't work so well because there are spots where you could be out shooting and then not have access to a signal. But I could imagine in Asia that wouldn't be an issue.
Yeah, so that's a very good point that we're cognizant of either providing the data solution. Imagine it's a router that, you know, a creator can actually loan out for the time of the shoot.
Right.
But you're right, in certain places, it's not even about having a router. It's just there's no signal. So at some point, we'll try to tackle that. And if anyone has any good suggestions or feedback, we're all ears.
Look, I'm sure as the days and years go by, you know, we're going to end up with internet coverage on, you know, more of a percentage of the planet's surface than ever before, and it'll get to the point where
Correct.
There won't be a square meter of dirt that's not covered by a signal of some description. So.
Correct. That's the world we live in.
Absolutely. So, Jen, where can people find what you're doing and how can they get involved?
Yeah, so as a creator or a photographer, videographer, you're more than welcome to sign up over at wandersnap.co. It takes no more than 2 minutes typically. It's free to sign up. And once we have the profile, we'll actually share it and push it to search. And then it's for any guests, whether that's individuals, families, or businesses, same thing. You can head over to wandersnap.co and you can browse creators on the search pages anywhere in the world.
Right. And so you can search by location.
By location, by budget, availability, and style of shoot.
That's fantastic. All right, Jen. Well, look, thank you so much for coming on Skype and having a chat. I think what you're doing is fantastic, and I wish you the very best with it.
Thank you so much for taking the time and having me on.
No worries, Jen. And that will do it for the first episode for 2018. Until we speak with you again, take care.
ShuttersIncPodcast.com.
Another audio2.com quality podcast.
For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@ShuttersIncPodcast.com.